Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Do you have a colour and style question? Today, I am answering three from wonderful watchers and readers. So if you have any, please feel free to let me know. Hannah today said, the thing I struggle with is that I have neutral cool olive skin with some depth, some softness and some brightness and lightness, which makes it really confusing, as I feel like I could pull off almost any colour season. I find that bright colours make me look healthy but kind of overwhelm me, but other colours can look a bit dull on me. I seem to suit cool and bright colours, yet my hair goes warm in the sun and I tan easily, but extremely warm colours clash with my colouring. True summer looks good on me, but still it can look a bit plain, like I'm missing something. There's also so many sub-seasons in different colour systems that it gets confusing. And absolutely this is true, but it's also why I developed my absolute colour system, which has 18 palettes, because there is the seasons where I found were too limiting. I was doing colour analysis and I was finding that people didn't really fit in. And so what I wanted was to have options for everybody. So I'm going to just start at the top of your question. I can pull off any colour season. The reality is you can't. You will find some colours will just wash you out. And if you... You know, bright colours may be overwhelming, as you mentioned. So you said, like, bright colours overwhelm you. So it means you don't want the really bright colours. But when we think about colour, colour has three properties. We have the saturation or the intensity, that is the brightness. And think about it as a complete spectrum, all the way from really, really bright fluoro colours all the way down to basically grey. But if you've ever tried to mix greys together and you define they just don't go together, it's because some greys are warm and some greys are cooler, and greys actually have different undertones. So, but really, many greys are actually a colour. It's just that they're so muted and so greyed out that we don't notice the colour in them. So there is a huge spectrum between the bright and the muted. You don't have to be at either end. You can be somewhere in the middle, for example. So here is a brighter swatch that is brighter than refined swatch. Here is serene. So when we compare serene to refined, you can see that serene looks much more muted than the refined does. But there is actually something in between, and I can't hold everything at the same time. But here is sublime. So sublime is a little bit brighter than serene, but not as bright as refined is. And so this is where there is a spectrum, and this is why I developed my system. It's because what I wanted was to show you that there are different variations between the really bright and the really muted. So you will be somewhere on that spectrum. I would suggest you're in between. You're not the really bright end, but you're also not the really muted end, because they wash you out. So we might think, I want a little bit more brightness, but it's not the true bright colours that really suit you. Now, excuse me, analysis is more than just skin too. We need to take into hair and eyes into consideration as well, and particularly hair, because hair is what gives us our value. It's actually less about the skin that gives us value. It's more about the hair. So, you know, this is where it's actually the hair that gives us the value. So if you have light hair, you'll suit a lighter palette. If you have dark hair, you will suit a darker palette. And of course, even within those spectrums, there is difference from like medium light compared to really, really light, or medium dark compared to really, really dark. And so this is where I have that complete spectrum of that value spectrum taken into consideration as well, between the light to dark. So we think, with colour analysis, we've got three spectrums we're looking at. We've got the intensity or saturation, from really bright down to really muted. We have the value spectrum, which is really light to really, really dark. And then we have the undertone. And this is from really cool to really, really warm. And there are colours close to the middle in between. And so this is also too where a lot of the original seasonal systems were very, very extreme on their warm and cool. And there are an awful lot of colours that are closer to the middle between warm and cool. And you may suit one of those palettes that's actually slightly closer to the middle between warm and cool rather than those extreme ones. You may still be cool, but you're not necessarily the super cool end of cool. And this is why you want to use a more modern system. Many of the seasonal systems I actually find are quite lacking. It's great that people are getting back into seasonal colour analysis, because it means that people are learning more about colour analysis. But there are other ways of looking at colours, more than just those original seasonal systems. Now, when you say in summer too, your hair goes warm. And absolutely that happens. And this is because all underlying hair pigments are warm, pretty much, unless you have true black hair or very, very white hair. And this is because the underlying hair pigments in blonde hair is yellow, in a dark blonde is a yellow orange, in a light brown is a orange, and then we've got in a dark brown, we've got, you know, like darker mid brown, some orange red, and then a dark brown is red. So those underlying pigments are warm. And the sun, just like chemicals, bleaches your hair. So over time, the sun is actually exposing those warmer pigments in your hair. And that's how it happens to everyone. And if you dye your hair, the way dye works is it exposes those pigments, it bleaches out the natural color that you have, and then it lays down more pigment. And so this is why it's actually much harder to dye hair cool than warm. You have to add blue and other cooler colors to dyes to actually compensate for those warmer orange and yellow pigments that naturally come there. And this is why you may find, if you're more brunette, using a blue shampoo or a brunette shampoo and conditioner. And if you're on the more blonde side, so a dark blonde to lighter blonde, using a purple or violet shampoo. So you'll often see these shampoos with a lot of purple in them. And what that does is it neutralizes those warm pigments that are exposed by the sun or by chemical dyes. And even things like the chlorine in the water, all these things are bleaching your hair, and they're actually allowing your hair to warm up. So particularly if you're cool, so I use a purple shampoo a lot, and it keeps the yellowness out of my hair that otherwise the water would put in. And also heat styling tools can also make your hair go more yellow and bleach it out more. So I would suggest that, you know, and it's the reason why your hair is like that is just because that is normal hair. Everybody's hair has a warm undertone. If you're bleaching away, if we're taking off those pigments that are the outside pigments, and the sun will do this over time. So you don't even have to use chemical processes. The sun will do this, you know, the water that you wash your hair in can do this, swimming can do this, all sorts of things can do this. It'll bleach your hair, it'll expose those pigments. And, you know, tanning is not about whether or not you're warm or cool. There are warm tans and cool tans. There are many warm people who say have red hair and that very fair skin. They don't tan either, versus there are cool people who also tan. So tanning is not a sign of undertone. There are so many myths and misconceptions about understanding undertone. And this is why it's good to go to someone who's been really well trained in color analysis, not a 1 or 2 day course. You want someone who's done a lot of training and then some good experience also. But there's a lot of myths and misconceptions out there. And like looking at wrists doesn't tell you. I was, you know, talking to a dermatologist and they said, you know, the color of the veins on your wrist can depend on the thickness of your skin. This has zero to do with undertone. And that's why this, you know, vein thing is not a great guide to finding your coloring. It's really what is happening to you when we are putting different colors on you, which colors are making you look healthier and which colors are making you look washed out. That's what we're really looking for. And we're looking for that harmony and balance between you and the colors. So if the colors are too bright, yeah, they will overwhelm you. They'll create a body focus. You know, they may not be terrible if they're in the right undertone, but they're not overwhelming you, versus the more muted colors may be underwhelming you, and they may be draining you. So you may need something in between. And of course, too, how you put the colors together. If you're feeling bland in your outfit, it could be because you're missing either the right value contrast or the right color contrast in your outfits. That's a whole nother topic. And I've got lots and lots of blog posts about that and free downloads of how to understand that. Plus, I cover it in depth in my color masterclass. And it's something that I go into in person in my 7 Steps to Style program to let you know what yours are. But this is where it's those things on top of just the palette that make you really shine when you are wearing the right colors, in the right contrast, in the correct value. All those things make the biggest difference. My next question today comes from Catherine. She says, I'm a short X shape with a very short waist. Petite rules often accentuate my bust or are somehow off balance. I retired recently and want a more creative style. So two things here. Firstly, short X shape. So X shape is body shape. Short is a body variation. Short waist is a body proportion. Petite rules are very, very general. And over accentuating your bust sounds like you may have a slightly larger bust proportionally, which is another body variation. So when we're looking at our bodies and looking at what works for us, we have to bring body shape, body variations, and body proportions all into one set of guidelines for ourselves. And so remembering that this is not about strict set of rules, and each of the body shape kind of rules or guidelines is just a generalized guidelines. You need to adapt them for your unique body. And this includes things like size of bust and how long or short waisted you are. So as a short waisted X, so even though X shape is all about the fit and flare shape, that is the most important thing, just thinking about the silhouette. But then how you do that will change based on your body variations and your body proportions. So as someone who has a short waist, you may not want to belt things. So some of the recommendations of putting on a belt may be too extreme for you, or you may only want a fine belt. You don't want a thick belt because a fine belt's not going to take up as much space in that short waist. So, but you may just want to look for clothes that have this fit and flare shape, that they are constructed in that way. And it may be, if you do belt, then belting in the same color as whatever you're wearing rather than an alternate color, because then we're not adding an obvious horizontal line. So there's lots of things we can think about there. But also too is clothes can just be constructed. They can have darts, they can have shaping, and all those things that create that great shape for you without having to really add a lot of emphasis at your waist. Because if wherever we are short proportionally, we don't want to add a lot of detail. And this is because it clutters up that area. Where we're long proportionally is where we can add more detail. And so therefore you might go, if I have a short waist, don't add a whole lot of detail, don't further shorten it. And even though some of the rules may be, you know, tuck in at the waist or end your tops at the waist and your jackets and mace, maybe for you, because you're short waisted, you want to go just slightly longer, like an inch longer, a couple of centimeters longer to actually feel more balance between the top half of you and the bottom half of you. So things like too is what's making my bust look large. Well, yes, because if you are bringing everything in very extreme at the waist, if you have a larger bust and you're short in that proportion, it's going to be a little bit less balanced. So it's finding ways of playing with those guidelines and experimenting. And I always say experimenting is the only way you'll really find out what works for you. Experiment and take photos, because you'll see it more easily in a photo, because you get a more objective opinion. When you're looking at that photo, in a way, it's very hard for our brains to see ourselves in the mirror like other people are seeing us. But I would recommend looking at body proportions, body shapes, body variations, and not over extremely doing the body shape, you know, guidelines. And petite rules can just be, they're petites just about being short. So the biggest rule I have for petites is don't swamp your body with too much fabric. That is one of the biggest things. Make sure things fit. Don't have too much fabric, because that's often what swamps you. But everything else about petite, you know, guidelines, they're still variable, because even within all petite guidelines, there's different body proportions. There are long-legged petites and short-legged petites. And you might find that most of the petite guidelines are based on a short-legged petite, but maybe you're a long-legged petite, and that's why you find some of those rules aren't working for you. And this is why figuring out what works for you specifically is really important, rather than taking a generalized set of rules that weren't written with you necessarily in mind. My last question comes from Elise, who says, I struggle with casual chic. As I'm trying to adapt to retirement in the US Southwest, when my style and all-time favorite outfits were New York City heels, hose, and a suit. I just don't like how I look, and I can't find an approach I feel comfortable in. And you are not alone, Elise. There are a lot of women like this, particularly as they retire. And if your natural style is more dressed up, it's more formal, suddenly, especially if you've moved to somewhere that's very relaxed, or just just being retired means you don't wear the suit anymore. You don't need the suit anymore. It can feel like, you know, you've got to figure out who you are again now. And this is a process to go through, and be gentle and kind to yourself, because it'll take a little bit of time. So thinking about you know, if you love a more structured style, because what that says to me is you love a more formal, more structured style. And yes, I know you're living somewhere that's very, very relaxed, but you can still be you within that environment. So maybe it's, well, I don't wear the New York City heels and suit, but maybe I wear, maybe you wear a pair of jeans, but wear it with a blazer. Now, it doesn't have to be a suit blazer. It could be something that's made from a ponte or a stretch fabric, something that's a little bit more casual, or it could just be some sort of jacket, but it gives you a feeling of more structured. Or maybe you go for a collared blouse rather than a t-shirt with your jeans. There's ways of dressing up your jeans so you'll feel more formal and you'll feel more like you, without having to go to sloppy t-shirts and sloppy jeans or shorts all the time. So it's really thinking about, well, you like the straight skirt, but think about maybe a denim straight skirt instead of your typical suit skirt. So it's thinking about how can I adapt to the sort of garment that I like, but that still has a more relaxed feel. So we're looking here at different fabrics. So denim rather than a wool, a jacket, even if it's like not a suit jacket, or a jacket with something that's more dressed down, or maybe you can find a lovely dress you like, but then dress it down with a denim jacket. So there's lots of ways we can dress things up and down. But it sounds like you just don't want to go to the whole hog to the overly casual. It's still finding that essence of you and that you like a more polished style than some of the people around where you live. And you know what? They may, you know, comment to start with. And you know what happens? After a while, people get used to what you wear and they stop commenting on it in that way. But too, also, I've actually found that, you know, you may not be alone in that area. There may be other people who'd also like to be a bit better dressed, but they feel they can't because everybody else around them is so casual. And what happens is when you start dressing in a way that still feels casual and appropriate, but is your version of more dressed up, that other people follow you. Actually, they also dress up a bit so you don't stand out in the same way. So there's lots of things to think about here. And this is where personality is so important. It's why it's the first step in my 7 Steps to Style program. And that's because personality is so key in understanding what we feel comfortable in. And you feel comfortable in heels and a suit. You don't feel comfortable in shorts and a t-shirt. And so this is really important to understand. And it's then working out then how you can adapt your style for your environment. So thank you for your questions. And of course, if you do want to really get that style education and understand what works for you, head over to my 7 Steps to Style program, because in that you'll discover your best colors, palette, how to wear your colors, values and color contrast, all those sorts of things, plus everything about your body shape, body proportions, body variations. Everything I have been talking about today is within that program, plus so much more. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit InsideOutStyleBlog.com, where you will discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.